How long does your phone last? How long does your battery last? One day? I don't know.
Depends on the phone.
Back in the day, we're talking like an old Nokia phone, the candy bar phone, could last a week on a battery charge, one single battery charge. Now these things last like one day, maybe 6 hours, something like that. I think a couple of weeks ago, there was a storm and it knocked out power. I don't know, did anyone lose their power back then? A number of us, we lost power. And so the first thought was like, oh no, we can't charge our phones. This is serious. You know, like, oh no, besides, you know, the food getting rotten in the refrigerator. Well, I had an experience just some months ago where I traveled to Myanmar, and you might know that Myanmar is less developed than a lot of other countries. And so in the city, this was a city we went to, they only had electricity for a certain amount of hours, and then they turned it all off. And so I was going and I was looking at my phone and the battery's going down, down, down. I'm going, oh no. And there's no place to charge the phone because there's no electricity in the whole city. And then I go, okay, I got this, you know, my charger. And so I plug this in. But, I only get a few more hours out of this. Well, the reason why I ask this is because in some ways this passage is talking about being charged with the Holy Spirit. See, we run out. Eventually we run out. These things only last a certain amount of time. Power gets cut out. And it's somewhat in the same way as the Holy Spirit that we need to be charged up. When I was at seminary, I had friends there, and they would come up to me during the week, we're kind of walking around campus, and they would say, are you prayed up? Because we're going to have a ministry on Friday night. And so I had never heard that before. Like, huh. You know, they'd say, are you prayed up? Are you prayed up? Are you prepared for this Friday? And then I started kind of understanding what they're saying. It's like, am I spiritually prepared? Have I been praying? Have I been really spending time and saying, God, please do something that will be amazing, that will be beyond what I can do. And if you look at this passage again, verse 8, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so there's a power component and the proclamation component. And oftentimes, when I was growing up, we'd always read the Matthew 28, which means all authority has been given to you, go. You know, and so we'd always emphasize going, go, 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 you know, the go and proclaim. And what this passage is talking about is that we need the power of the Holy Spirit. If we don't have it, then all we're doing is good stuff, good humanitarian things, which is good, but it can be without the Holy Spirit. There are plenty of people that can do good stuff without the Holy Spirit. And this also is addressing our need to learn to be listening and to be waiting on God. You notice that Jesus told the disciples to wait. Wait until you're clothed with power. Don't leave, because you're going to need something more than what you've had before. You know, they had been going out with Jesus and doing things, but he's saying now, this especially, this time, you really need the more power of the Holy Spirit. And when we read in chapter 2, you see the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is poured out. Well, we're going to share a couple of small examples, and I'm going to share you a couple of other examples of how this works. How does this work in our own lives? Because Pentecost happened back then, but does the Holy Spirit fill us? How does he do that today? Well, as I started learning at school, I was trying to understand what does it mean to understand this power of the Spirit, but also the fact that we're in spiritual warfare. All we do is in spiritual warfare. And so a friend of mine was telling me about sharing his testimony, and he was sharing lots of really strange stuff because he had been involved with the occult before and God had saved him out of that, and he just really was very sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but he was also sensitive to the spiritual warfare. And so one night I went to sleep, and early in the morning I'm kind of half asleep sleeping, and then I became aware that there was something really heavy lying on top of me on my bed. And I couldn't move. I was like, whoa, I'm pinned down. I'm pinned down by something on my bed. And I thought, this is weird. This is strange. And then I came to realization that this was a spiritual attack on me. And I knew it was from the enemy. And so I opened my mouth and I spoke it out. I woke up and I said, in the name of Jesus, you leave. Whatever this is, you leave. And immediately, that weight just lifted off. And the next day, I saw my friend, and I said, Gary, this is what happened to me last night, this morning. And he looked at me and he said, now you understand. Feeling this. Woo. And after that, as I spent time with him and some of the other guys on every Friday night, we'd have a praise and prayer night every Friday night on campus, I began to learn about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit on a regular basis and to depend on Him, because this battle is a spiritual battle, and we battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And they're something that is beyond me. We had another experience, which Lil will share.
Some of you might have heard us talking a bit about being overseas and encountering evil spirits in people. But lest you think that that is, you know, relegated to overseas in Africa or Asia, it is not. So this is a story that happened many years ago when we were on the worship team. And we were with our adorable Japanese friend, Ayako. She came from Japan for music school. And so we were having our Thursday night practice, and this is in the Chinatown campus. So we had been praising and worshiping the Lord and felt like, okay, we're ready. We're ready for Sunday. And then afterwards, I went downstairs to put away the materials in the basement. Well, I opened the closet to the downstairs, and this huge wave of fear came at me. Boom! And I was like, what is this? You know, what is happening? So I ran back upstairs, and I told Carrie and Ayako. And then all of a sudden, we just started praying. And it was my first time experiencing something like this. We had our eyes closed. Maybe he didn't, but I did, because that's the way I was trained, you know? Close your eyes when you pray. But around me, I could feel these things flying, you know? And it was such a weird experience. But we just kept praying, until finally we felt things subside a little bit.
And then Ayako said, while we were praying and just coming against the enemy and just lifting up the name of Jesus, Ayako said, when we were praying, I sensed something, an entity, come up to me and say, I want to come into you. And she said, no, you go away. And that kind of shook her up, but she had the confidence to know in Christ she could say, no, depart from me, go.
So then, when it came time to staff meeting, Carrie shared with the staff, and they were all like, what's going on? Why would this happen at a church? So then, when they went downstairs, they found there were these Buddhist tracks there. Somebody had put them there, obviously not one of the members, but because we have a lot of interaction with the community and a lot of community events going on, somebody had gotten in there and put these Buddhist tracks that were invitations for spirits.
Yeah.
To come.
So that was an early little lesson about spiritual warfare. But I want to go back to this, the passage here in the verse, because those are just a couple of little examples, mm-hmm. how we can be praying and saying, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Give me the power and love and strength to do what you want me to do. And this power component, what happened when the Holy Spirit was poured out? And as we know, the disciples went all over and they did They were fearless. They were totally fearless. Peter was changed from a guy who was afraid, who denied Jesus three times, to being totally bold and unafraid. And that's what happens. And the question is, and I don't know if you know this, is that God pours out His Spirit. And another word we call it is revival. God revives or spiritually awakens His people at different times of history. This has happened, and I just want to say one thing. I'll start with an example just recently in the last 40, 50 years, okay? All of us enjoy the wonderful worship music that we have from Bethel or Hillsong or maybe the Vineyard or Maranatha, those of us who are a little older. Well, you know where that music comes from? Obviously, people wrote those worship songs and praise songs. During the 1960s and early 70s, there was what was called the Jesus Movement beginning in California, in Southern California. And during that time, many people were turning to drugs and sex and just, it was a really confusing time. Okay, I was too young to really realize what was going on, and many of you weren't even born. But God was moving during that time in California. And God saved a portion of people out of that time of recklessness, drugs, and sex. And they called it the Jesus Moon. If you look it up on Google, you'll find it. And what happened was people were tired of traditional church, the young people, but they were intrigued by Jesus. Jesus who had, you know, kind of looked like a hippie, walked around with bare feet or sandals and had a robe. And so they were drawn to Jesus, but not to the traditional church. And so thousands and hundreds of thousands of young people flocked to these brand new churches. There were surfer churches. There were hippie churches. And they began to write new music. And it was called Maranatha music, praise music, beginning in the 70s. Well, the reason why we have music like that and is carried on is because that was a move of God that started in our lifetime, in my lifetime. And there have been other movements that have spread and impacted our lives. For example, Billy Graham. Okay, how many of you have heard of Billy Graham? Okay, he's a well-known evangelist. Well, you know, he started in 1949 as a young man. And the reason he started in 1949 was because there was a revival going on in a number of places in the United States. And Billy Graham and Bill Bright, who started Campus Crusade for Christ, and Dawson Trotman, who started Navigators. These people emerged. These were young people who got filled with the Spirit and said, God wants to go out and save everyone. And Billy Graham got his start as a young man. And see, it was came out of a revival of a pouring out of the Spirit. And so Pentecost is something that has happened at different times. And it, the way it happens, and we can't manufacture it, is His people begin to pray together, just saying, God, things are really bad here. We're in a mess. We need You more than ever before. We're dry, we're old, we're cold. Please refresh us again. Please revive us again. You know, revival means when you get revived, a person, like, they get conked out or whatever, or they go into a coma, and or they're knocked out, and to revive it means they wake up again. And that's what we're talking about. We can be at church, we can be going through it, and we can be getting little charges, maybe little charges, but we realize that we really need a big charge. And this is my prayer for myself and for you, because this must happen before we have the energy and the power to go out and do mission. You see, we can't do mission without the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do that with His love. Otherwise, we'll just go, ugh, I don't like this, you know, and just go home. But it's something that's within us that compels us. And we start doing things that we didn't realize we could do because it's not us. It's Christ in us. It is the Holy Spirit that is at work in us. We even start being amazed at what happens. We go, wow, I didn't do that. That was God, you know. And then we know that the Holy Spirit is at work. Well, I want to tell you one more example of revival. How many of you have heard of Hudson Taylor? Okay, quite a few. Okay. Hudson Taylor, of course, from the Chinese church, most of us know about Hudson Taylor. He was a very famous missionary that went to China. Well, you know what happened before he went there? There was a revival, a great revival, which they call the Second Great Awakening in North America and England. And in that time, there was an evangelist named Charles Finney who went throughout New York's in the East Coast. And God, the Holy Spirit had so empowered him that he could go into a church like this. And hundreds of people would come, many of them to criticize and to heckle him and attack him. And the power of God was so powerful and at work that when these people came in to start arguing with him and attacking him, the power of God, of the Holy Spirit, would actually strike them down. They would fall out of the pew and start crying and just like being not able to do what they intended to do. And he would say, "Jesus has come to save you." And they would get saved right on the spot in the church. This happened in one city where 100,000 people in Rochester, New York were converted in a short amount of time, in a few months. 100,000 people in one city. You see, when a revival happens and God works, it is very obvious that it's God. And that revival spread throughout the northeast of the United States. It spread over to England. People, what they do is they say, they share the story. They testify. They say, "This is what God is doing. I saw it with my own eyes." Well, that story went over to England. And J. Hudson Taylor, he heard it and he started, "This is God." And he starts sharing it and revival starts happening in England. And then people say, "What should we do?" And they come back to this passage which we read. And it says, the power of God will receive power from the Holy Spirit when He comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and the ends of the earth. And J. Hudson Taylor looks at this and he goes, "I must go to China. I must go." And he just compelled. It is something that thrust him. And as we know from history, God used him in a mighty way to change China. Many Christians, many of us, in a sense, are his descendants, spiritual descendants, because of what God did. So my prayer for us is that we realize that, you know what? God is willing to pour out His Spirit and to fill you and to fill us. It doesn't have to be a lot of us. When I came back from California and I came back to BCEC, in 1990, I just was stirred in my heart for revival. And I began to share with some of the people like Jonathan Lee, okay? We heard Jonathan Harrell. And I said, "I want to pray for that God would revive us and God would just really fill us with power and love." And I just got with a few people from BCEC, just a few of us, and I just said, "Do you want to pray with me? And let's just spend time just crying out to God." And I began to do that. And we began to share that. We had 4.5 years here at BCEC in Chinatown during that time. And I believe God started to work in different ways. We started the worship teams. Project Destiny started. These different ministries, Access started. See, I believe that God was working in a way, maybe not in a real dramatic way, but God was at work and the Holy Spirit was giving us love and power to do those things. And there was a time of when BCC really started expanding and growing. And many of you, maybe you went through Project Destiny or you know, the teens. Well, you know what? That revival started with a little prayer meeting in New York City. A businessman was just struck by how people are sad and just seeking for whatever. And so he decided, "I'm going to have a prayer meeting in a church." And he just started to pray. And he told some people about it. And gradually other businessmen came and they began to pray too. Just crying out to God. Says, "God, will you please revive us?" And after a while, the Spirit of God started just multiplying that, and pretty soon the church was filling. This was at lunchtime prayer meeting. And then other prayer meetings began to spread into different churches in New York City. Pretty soon there were thousands of these businessmen praying and saying, God, would you pour out your Spirit? And what happened was, people started changing. And the whole atmosphere started changing. I even experienced a little bit of that when I was in Southern California when I got there. And I heard from some pastors how they talked about in the 1970s during the Jesus movement that you could hiccup. People could just walk into the church and all of a sudden they go, I want Jesus. It was like that. It was like, whoa, that is crazy. That is God. You know, it wasn't like you had to argue with him, you know, for years and years. God was at work. Okay? It doesn't happen all the time, but it happens in periods of time. And so my prayer today, I'm going to have a little time of response, is, can we just stand? No, I'm just going to lead us in. Yeah, yes, please. The Kleenex. Yeah, brokenness, yeah. I need a Kleenex. Just as I've been sharing with you, I've been stirred in my own heart. And there's an old song that by Keith Green, he wrote, and he died in 1981, but he was very influential in my life. He wrote a lot of songs about revival, about being revived and coming back to God. I can't remember all the words, but I remember most of the words of one song, and I sort of adapted it. And it's kind of like this. It said, my brain is fried, my faith is old, my eyes are dry, my prayers are cold. But I know what I ought to be, alive to you, God, and dead to me. But what can be done with an old soul like mine? Please wash me anew with oil and wine. The oil is you, your Spirit of love. Please wash me anew in the oil of your love. I realized that when I started thinking about that song just today, this morning, that describes me. I'm so fried. My faith is old. My eyes are dry. My prayers are cold. But I know how I ought to be, alive to Christ and dead to me. And what can be done with an old soul like mine? Wash me anew with oil and wine. The oil is you, God, your Spirit of love. Please wash me anew in the oil of your love. And so I'm going to pray for you and pray for myself. And in preparation, I'm just going to offer some thoughts for you to pray silently, just between you and God. If you are a Christian, this is a refilling of the Spirit, of being recharged to overflowing. If you haven't believed yet, you can believe and be filled with the Spirit at the same time. And you can just pray quietly. You can either say the words that I say, or you can say it in your own words as I say a prayer. And I'm just going to pause, and I'm going to allow you to put it in your own words and just pray it to the Lord. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is my Savior, and I have professed Him as Christ and Lord. And I acknowledge that Jesus is the only way to the Father, and that your Spirit has given me new life, and I have been born again of the Spirit. And I thank you that you forgive my sins when I confess them to you. So right now, I'm going to confess to you, God, my sins. Lord, my brain has been fried with lots of stuff that's not really giving glory to you. Lord, I confess that my faith is old. It's just, it has not been renewed. Lord, I confess that my eyes are dry. I haven't really been moved by anything of your spirit. I just haven't been enthusiastic at all or even broken with your heart. And Lord, I confess that my prayers have been cold. That I've been ice cold. That I've been cold as it is outside. That I haven't cared about anything. And I need to be refilled and recharged and revived. I repent. If there's anything that I've been doing or I've been involved with that is not of God, I confess and repent of that. Stuff on the internet, compromise, busyness, and any other spiritual things that are not of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord Jesus Christ. That just is not pleasing to you. I confess and I repent of that today. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. I need this Holy Spirit's love and wisdom and power. I need a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ and to be His disciple. We're just going to spend a moment in quiet. And if you want to, you can put your hands out like you're going to receive a gift. That someone is, Jesus wants to give you His gift today. More of His Spirit. I'm going to pray for you for the next few minutes, and as you just wait and expect to receive something in your heart and in your mind and a renewing and refilling and reviving of your spirit with God's Spirit. So we're just going to be quiet for a little while. And if you would like one of us to come and pray with you personally. You can just slip up your hand if you want that. Or after the service, we'll be here. But I'm just going to pray for right now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you are welcome, and Lord, we call upon you. We cry out to you, God. Would you fill us, your people? Would you refill our people, us? Would you recharge us, Lord? Would you revive us, Holy Spirit, to overflowing with more love, more wisdom, and more power beyond anything that we've ever experienced? Oh, come, Lord. Oh, Lord. Cry out to God. Will you do something new here today? Will you do something that is so refreshing and so renewing and so life-changing and transforming today, God, for your people, for your children today? We don't want to be like the old ones. We don't want to be like the cold ones. We want to be revived. We want to be like the disciples who are empowered and unafraid and filled with boldness and wisdom and love to go out to our streets and our schools and our workplaces and our neighborhoods and just be empowered and compelled and see amazing things happen. To be unafraid. To be the good news. To reach out and touch somebody and say, Jesus loves you. Jesus has come to heal you. Jesus has come to deliver you and save you.
Somebody from the worship team play a little bit instrumental. We appreciate that. No lyrics. Just softly.
Just a little quiet. We'll just spend a couple more minutes. Just keeping this posture of waiting, being quiet, and waiting on God. Will you do that just for a few more minutes? for the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord will be your strength, will be our strength. The Lord will lift us up. The Lord strengthen us. The Holy Spirit fills us with love and joy, all the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Holy Spirit anoints you with His gifts, with His wisdom, with the knowledge of the Lord and His glory.
I just want to say one more thing, which is if you want to receive prayer but you feel something's holding you back, like even physically, emotionally, spiritually, just raise your hand and we'll come and pray with you where you're sitting.
Thanks. Thank you, Lord. How much more you give good gifts to your children. We who are parents, we know about giving gifts to our children. How much more our loving Heavenly Father gives good gifts to us as children. We thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.